This podcast is brought to you by Money Control. Hello and welcome. You're listening to Budget 2020 podcast. I'm Sakshi Batra and with me is Gaurav Chaudhary, Deputy Executive Editor of Money Control. Thanks a lot, Gaurav, for joining in. Well, it's the big budget day. The budget is done and dusted. But the market reaction was disappointing, to say the least, because we all also saw a 1,000-point cut on the Sensex today. So what did not go down well with the markets?
Well, markets, there are a couple of things that actually went against what the markets were expecting, or rather not expecting. One, the markets were the absence of an explicit fiscal stimulus, whether for infrastructure or real estate or a consumption stimulus, was something that the market went against, seriously against market expectations. The markets were expecting a fiscal stimulus up front,
okay,
to be explicitly spelt out by the finance minister in her budget speech.
Right.
That did not come about. The second thing that the market is, has got the market worried is the government's rather bold move to actually go ahead and list life insurance corporations.
Yes.
And that is something that the market does not know how it's going to play out in the equity markets, and in a kind of implications that it might have, given the fact that it's a state-owned behemoth, and it could by far, all experts that we have spoken to have said, it could by far be the largest, India's most valued market listed company in terms of market cap. But without holding, and it has its investment spread all across the economy. So that is something that the market does not know what the implications could be at the broader level.
Right.
And the third thing that the markets were actually confused about is the nature of the individual income tax changes that the finance minister announced. And what she has presented people with an either or kind of an option. Either you continue with the existing rates and slabs are, and continue to claim the deductions and exemptions, or you actually move on to the new rates and slabs, which are lower, presumably lower, but comes without any, without the applicability of any deduction or exemptions. That could end up complicating matters. That is what markets experts say. And that is something that market likes clarity. Participants like clarity. So this lack of clarity is something that the markets did not take it well.
Right. Now, but this income tax reduction was big on the experts' expectation as well this time around. But now that it has come, do you think this will actually pump the consumption demand right now, which is
lacking? So that is the whole objective, it appears. But it also kind of gives an idea about which way income tax changes and rates would probably be going in the coming years. One would hope that this has come with a degree of finality. What it does tell you is that the government actually wants people and individuals and households to tilt in favor of spending rather than saving if a trade-off were to be made.
Yeah.
And so if people actually move on to the new tax slabs and rates, and according to finance minister's calculations, anybody who's earning 15 lakh rupees annually or taxable income 15 lakh rupees would have to pay taxes, the tax outgo will be less by about 75,000 rupees. So it would be a net gainer of 75,000 rupees, assuming there are no deductions or exemptions claimed. Now, if that is the case, and if at a macro level, there are a large number of thousands of people actually move on to the new tax system, and they end up spending these net gains from their tax outgo, it could spur the economy. But that needs to be seen, and how it plays out in the real market, in the real economy, because that is it'll come with a degree of time lag. And if that has to play out as a trigger for boosting demand and eventually investment, I think that's still some distance away.
Right. But how do you read the fiscal deficit target of 3.8%? Now, markets were already factoring in some kind of a slippage, but was it expecting this kind of a slippage?
So that is something that the bond markets, I would believe, would take with a degree of trepidation.
Okay.
With a degree of unease also, because bond markets do not want the government to go out in the market and borrow more. In fact, high government borrowing, which is nothing but the fiscal deficit, it actually crowds out private investment from the bank loan market, private borrowers from the bank loan market, and that ends up raising interest rates for private corporate borrowers and private individuals and corporate borrowers, and that could turn out to be inflationary and could have various consequences so far as growth objectives are concerned. So that is something that bond markets and stock markets, market participants are not very comfortable with, and that is why this unease is showing up. 3.8%, given the level of revenue collections and the kind of GDP growth in the broader economy that we have been witnessing, is still, I would say, commendable. But having said that, this is the third successive year that the government, second successive year, 2021, that the government is going to actually, you know, breach the fiscal deficit target. In fact, when the budget was presented in 2019, the government had set a fiscal deficit target of 3% for 2021. Mm. When the budget has been presented for this year, for next year, for 2021, the fiscal deficit budgeted estimates for fiscal deficit 3.5%. So that's 0.5 percentage points higher than what the government had estimated only 7 months ago. That is something that will make many players uneasy.
Right. So according to you, which is the biggest takeaway for you in the budget, and which is the biggest disappointment?
The biggest takeaway clearly is the decision to disinvest LIC and get it listed, and as also the individual income tax rates and changes that the finance minister has announced. It might appear, you know, it might appear a little complicated at this point, but I think the intent is in the right direction. At least directionally, we know which way the government wants to go. That is something that is a carryover from the to-do list. We know how corporate income tax rates were, you know, cut at one sweep in outside of the budget. So this is at least given the direction that the government wants to simplify tax rates, even if it may not have turned out to be as simple as the intention may have been. Mm-hmm. And the decision to list LIC, while it may have, you know, it may have upset or made market participants uneasy, what it does tell you is that it also brings, if you look at it positively, it also brings in an element of transparency into LIC's operations. LIC has always believed to be, believed to be some kind of a handmaiden of the government in power, and which many governments are believed to have used LIC for various kinds of investment and disinvestment purposes and objectives. Once LIC gets listed, all those will become very transparent. In fact, the red herring prospect of LIC will be very interesting to watch, because the kind of disclosures that LIC will have to make because it will be listed is something which is a good thing, given the size of LIC and its operation across India's industrial landscape.
Right. Now, in the end, I want to ask you, beyond the headlines, is this budget eventually going to be pro-growth? And in the first glance, does it also take us closer to the vision of $5 trillion economy?
That is the whole idea. And what the finance minister said, that the government remains committed to turning into a $5 trillion economy by 2024-25. Whether that will be met or not is still, we have to take a call, we have to see 4 years from now. But the multipliers the force multipliers for turning India into that, bringing India closer to that level is clearly in place, at least so far as focus is concerned. Infrastructure clearly is going to be one primary vehicle that needs to be constantly kept in focus. And this is what the budget, at least in terms of mentions, is doing. The government's commitment to the national infrastructure pipeline projects, which is worth 102 lakh crore, and the kind of detailed finance blueprint that has been laid out ever since the project was announced, is something that the government believes is achievable. And I think in that respect, the government believes that infrastructure is the vehicle on which the broader economy and the real economy will have to ride to reach the $5 trillion economy. But whether this particular budget is going to be growth oriented or not, the government believes that we are nearing bottoming of this current slide. That could be for a number of factors will have to be played to basically turn around the Indian economy, which is caught in a crippling deceleration. That one of the factors obviously is to boost demand. The government believes that this income tax changes will boost demand. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see whether it does or not. But infrastructure clearly has to be one of the main vehicles that is going to help the turnaround be more rapid.
All right. Thanks a lot then, Gaurav, for sharing all these insights. And with that, it's a wrap here on this edition of podcast. Many thanks for listening to us.
Views and investment tips expressed by investment experts on moneycontrol.com are their own and not that of the website or its management. Moneycontrol.com advises users to check with certified experts before taking any investment decisions.